Between 2008 and today, something fundamental shifted in the global order. From the streets of Athens to the voting booths of Middle America, millions of people began questioning a system that had promised prosperity but delivered stagnation. Brexit wasn't just about Europe. It was a revolt against elites who seemed disconnected from ordinary struggles. Trump's election wasn't merely political theater. It represented working-class fury at decades of flatlined wages. These weren't isolated incidents, but symptoms of a deeper crisis. The marriage between democracy and capitalism, which had delivered unprecedented wealth for generations, was showing serious cracks. What's driving this discontent? The answer is deceptively simple, yet profoundly consequential. The failure to deliver economic growth. When Nelson Mandela promised South Africans jobs, peace, and freedom in 1994, millions stood in line for days to vote. Two decades later, unemployment still hovers around 20%, nearly half the population lives in poverty, and South Africa has become the world's most unequal nation. The lesson is stark. Democracy without growth breeds disillusionment. And this pattern repeats globally, from Brazil to Russia, as nations that embraced market reforms watch living standards stagnate while inequality widens. Consider the mathematics of prosperity. At 5% annual growth, a country doubles its wealth in 14 years. At 3%, that same doubling takes 24 years. This isn't abstract economics. It's the difference between your children inheriting opportunity or desperation. South Africa has barely cracked 3% growth since apartheid ended and has never sustained the 7% needed to genuinely transform living standards. With population growing at 1.5% annually, per capita income has essentially flatlined for a generation. This slow growth trap has become the global norm rather than the exception. Major economies that once roared ahead now sputter. The OECD countries that averaged 3.4% growth between 1970 and 1990 now manage barely 2%. America hasn't exceeded 2.5% growth since the financial crisis, and what growth exists has flowed overwhelmingly to those already wealthy. The Dow Jones climbed 4.5 times between 1970 and 2017, yet real wages remained frozen, a divergence that explains why capital-rich coastal cities supported the status quo in 2016 while the industrial heartland demanded revolution. Economic growth stems from three sources: capital, investments minus debts, labor, quantity and quality, and total factor productivity, the mysterious ingredient encompassing technological innovation and rule of law. Productivity accounts for over half the difference between thriving and failing economies, flourishing where property rights are clear, laws transparent, and innovation rewarded. Yet GDP can mask dysfunction. Recent American growth accrued almost entirely to capital owners, while workers accumulated debt. This capital-labor divide shaped the electoral map, wealth concentrated in New York and California, defending the status quo, while the hollowed-out industrial heartland voted for disruption. Why do some nations prosper while others languish? China commanded 32.9% of global GDP in 1820, collapsed to 3.4% by 1978, then rebounded through strategic focus on trade and infrastructure. Japan engineered success through the Meiji Restoration, replacing feudalism with modern government, yet has stagnated for 25 years despite implementing every textbook remedy. Argentina, once the world's 10th wealthiest nation in 1913, experienced catastrophic decline through 6 military coups, 3 periods of hyperinflation, and numerous debt defaults. The common thread? Strong, trustworthy institutions determine national destinies. The global economy faces 7 unprecedented forces beyond traditional policy solutions: crushing debt, resource scarcity, capital misallocation, declining workforce quality, widening inequality, technological displacement, and falling productivity. Global debt has reached $217 trillion, 350% of worldwide GDP, draining resources from education, healthcare, and development. Resource depletion intensifies as Earth's population strains finite supplies, with UN projections showing 9.6 to 12.3 billion people by 2100. Aging populations create unsustainable dependency ratios. By 2050, 1 in 6 people globally will be 65 or older. In the U.S., Social Security reached $900 billion in 2015, 25% of federal spending. Education underinvestment has produced workers ill-equipped for modern economies. American students rank 30th among 35 OECD members in math, while over 71 million youth aged 18 to 24 are unemployed globally. Technology creates a growing unemployed underclass. Oxford estimates 47% of U.S. jobs face displacement, with trucking's 3.4 million drivers vulnerable to autonomous vehicles. China's 260,000 industrial robots have displaced over 1 million workers. Income inequality has cost industrialized economies approximately 8.5% of GDP over 25 years. More damaging is declining social mobility. In the U.S., probability of moving from bottom to top quarter has halved over 30 years. Economic headwinds threaten to unravel globalization, fueling protectionist waves that challenge post-war growth principles. Globalization emerged from innovations like Keith Tantlinger's container corner mechanism and the 1990 Washington Consensus promoting free trade, capital flows, migration, and private sector leadership. Brexit and Trump's election profoundly challenged this consensus. American workers' purchasing power remains unchanged since 1979, fueling resentment. Three critical failures undermined globalization. Leaders squandered trade windfalls instead of investing in infrastructure and education. Western governments maintained agricultural protectionism while compensating developing nations through corruption-fostering foreign aid. And, despite creating institutions like the WTO and IMF, national interests remained paramount, with no entity responsible for global economic welfare. Cross-border capital among G20 economies fell nearly 70% since 2007. While globalization eased trade and capital flows, it failed on human movement. Despite 73.4 million young people unemployed worldwide and stark demographic imbalances, there's no integrated migration approach. Protectionist policies will reshape global economics. Businesses will adopt localized models, creating initial deflation, followed by long-term inflation from higher import prices and closed labor markets. When Kenya's President Kenyatta chose China over America for his inaugural foreign visit in 2013, it signaled a profound shift. Across the developing world, the Western model of free markets and democracy no longer holds automatic appeal. Instead, authoritarian state capitalism, exemplified by China's rise, promises faster economic progress. China now ranks as the world's largest economy at 17.8% of world GDP versus America's 15.5%, while investing over $1.6 trillion globally. Its state capitalist model has reduced inequality, built superior infrastructure, and delivered innovative solutions. This progress has prompted many to question democracy's necessity for growth. Hungary's Viktor Orbán openly declared his commitment to building an illiberal state, citing China, Russia, and Turkey as models. Nations from South Korea to Brazil that adopted market reforms have seen disappointing results, persistent unemployment, and stagnant living standards. Government effectiveness, not political freedom, ultimately determines economic growth. Effective governments provide public goods, enforce laws, and act as financiers during crises. China's model contains significant inefficiencies, massive debt, property bubbles, and pollution. Yet as it approaches becoming the world's largest economy, it continues gaining admirers seeking rapid transformation. Winston Churchill's 1936 critique of government as decided only to be undecided, resolved to be irresolute, resonates powerfully today. The 2017 Edelman Trust Survey reveals only 41% trust their government globally, while American trust in federal government has plummeted from 77% in 1964 to just 19%. This crisis stems from short-termism embedded in both democratic and business systems, a myopia that severely undermines economic success. Political short-sightedness intensifies as leadership tenure shrink. The average G20 leader's tenure has fallen from 6 years in 1946 to 3.7 years today, creating a dangerous mismatch between electoral incentives and long-term challenges. Western politicians, typically serving under 5 years, rationally focus on seducing voters with short-term sweeteners rather than addressing structural problems like declining education standards, pension crises, and crumbling infrastructure. Business faces the same affliction. CEO tenures have shrunk from 10 years in 1990 to 4.4 years today. The average S&P 500 company lifespan has collapsed from 60 years in 1935 to 18 years in 2011. Stockholding periods have plummeted from over 5 years in 1970 to just 7 months. The consequences are stark. The American Society of Civil Engineers gives the U.S. a D-plus grade, citing 2,170 high-hazard dams and 56,007 structurally deficient bridges. Without growth, society doesn't just stagnate, it contracts and deteriorates. Democracy needs radical reforms. Lengthening political terms to match business cycles, introducing term limits, requiring substantial work experience before candidacy, making voting mandatory, and potentially implementing weighted voting, where better-informed citizens earn additional votes through demonstrated civic knowledge. Reform must come from outside politicians, lack incentive to implement changes like term limits. Politically minded individuals, retired politicians, nonpartisan think tanks, and the private sector must drive these changes. Our current situation mirrors pre-World War II conditions. Protectionist policies like Smoot-Hawley triggered trade wars and worsened the Great Depression. Today's protectionism similarly risks economic volatility and conflict. We're witnessing democratic backsliding alongside growing appeal for authoritarian capitalism. The connection between economic decline and social unrest runs from the French Revolution, triggered by bread shortages, to Greece's recent collapse that sparked riots and political chaos. While growth alone can't solve pandemics or environmental crises, these challenges become exponentially harder when economies shrink. The stakes couldn't be higher. Our choice is between reforming democracy to address its corrosive short-termism or watching it crumble under economic failure. The edge of chaos isn't some distant threat. We're already standing on it.